listener, what's up? You may notice something a little different in this episode. And the thing is, David, usually one of the two hosts on here, is currently on his honeymoon in New Zealand. Oh my God, right? But yeah, so because of that, we have the wonderful Dylan, who is our editor and also the editor of Anime Out of Context, our sister podcast, who you keep sending erotic messages about to us. So you probably know what that is. Anyway, Dylan, take it away.
This episode is brought to you ad-free, thanks to all of our wonderful patrons. You can get tons of exclusive content and help us keep the show going by joining at patreon.com/shonenflop. And welcome to this episode of Shonen Flop, where we talk about manga and Shonen Jump that didn't make it big. I'm Dylan.
I'm Jordan.
And next week, David will be back. If you'd like to read along with us, be sure to join the discussion in our Discord and submit your six-word summary. You can find a link to the Discord in our episode description and on our website, shonenflop.com.
I'd also like to say, it's going to be episode 100.
Ooh.
And for our guests, we're going to have the wonderful Void Burger, aka Jess. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I've been following her since high school, so this is going to be fun.
Hell yeah. You're getting a lot of big names lately.
Oh my God, yeah. That's because she's also from Skulltenders. We're lucky enough to have gotten everybody from Skulltenders, and that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty great. But this week, we're talking about Service Wars. And normally, this is where there's an extra guest who gives a 30-second intro. However,
plot twist, Dylan is the guest.
I am the guest and also the co-host for this one.
And also the editor. Oh my God. Dylan, do you want to tell us about what you're up to as the guest?
So those of you who know me know that I'm the editor of Anime Out of Context, as well as the occasional guest host and the voice of their disclaimer. And that, aside from doing that, editing Shonen Flop, that's all I really do.
Yeah, hey, that's enough. That'll do, Dylan. That'll do.
We should probably actually talk about the manga we're covering this week.
I suppose that we should. Listener, David is better at keeping us on task. I'm sorry. Anyway. So this is Service Wars. It was written by Hatamune Tsuwurun. And apparently, this may be a pen name. Tucker says that Hatamune essentially means pigeon breast. I know that Hato means pigeon because I played Hatoful Boyfriend.
Oh, that's what it means. Oh, the pigeon dating sim. Hatofo. Okay, pigeon. Okay.
Yes, that's a pigeon dating sim. And Tsuwurun is apparently very close to Tsuru, which means brain. As everyone knows, the bird that you make in origami. The author's first major work was actually titled The Naked Swan. So perhaps this may be a pen name chosen to pair with that original work.
And Maxibi has confirmed that it is indeed a pen name, and his editor hates it.
Apparently this guy hasn't seemed to have been an assistant for anybody notable, nor have they had any notable assistants. But their other works include the aforementioned Naked Swan, 2017 to 2018, 4 volumes in Jump Plus. Apparently it's about Kakeru Shiratori, a beautiful high school student excelling at everything but carries a dark secret. Dylan, he's an exhibitionist.
Oh my God!
Oh, the mishaps. Oh, the comedic situations he must get into, the hijinks. And hey, you know, you may say that 4 volumes, that's a flop, but apparently this was originally intended to be 1 volume, so actually, that's pretty good.
It still technically qualifies for Shonen Flop, I guess, but...
Still qualifies, but I mean, hey, if you only intended to go for 1 volume and end up having 4, you know, what more can you ask for? And his next work, though, 2019-2020, Mitama Security Spirit Busters. Not only is that an episode... That's one of the better series that we have covered on here. Easily one of the better series. I really liked that series. And that is about an exorcist named Joe Mitama, who is actually scared of ghosts and loves basketball. That is episode 11, actually.
Yeah, I actually went and read some of that manga after we finished reading this. And I was like, okay,
yeah.
I can definitely see the through line from how he went from Mitama Security to Service Wars and how he's grown as a mangaka.
Yeah.
There's definitely a through line. This is very much the exact same man.
Very similar guy, you can tell. Similar comedic styling, definitely similar art. But yeah, we're not talking about that stuff today. We're talking about Service Wars. This ran in Shonen Jump Plus, apparently internationally ran in Manga Plus, and it ran from March 26th, 2023 to December 3rd, 2023, so not a full year, which is why it's on this show. And it, under the series it replaced, and series it replaced it, Maxi B notes that this is not how Jump Plus works. I don't know anything about Jump Plus, but I'm assuming that they do.
By the way, Shonen Jump Plus is in fact just a mobile app and website.
That explains it. See, in Weekly Shonen Jump, you can only have a certain number of manga, but the internet is infinite. You could have as much manga as you want.
All of it.
All of the manga, all of it. But a series that started around the same time as it was The Pension Life Vampire by Shoichi Taguchi, which also ran for 4 volumes. So maybe that's flop eligible. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about Service Wars. Went for 37 chapters and 4 volumes. And let's get into the goddamn plot summary, Dylan.
Hell yeah.
The Ajimaru ramen shop is in trouble. The place, run by Iwao and his daughter Renge, is in some serious debt and exists in a mostly dead shopping district. One day, a man collapses outside of their restaurant. But when they try and feed him, he turns the tables, literally, on them, and instead serves them. His name is Nasunosuke, and he is a wandering waiter. In gratitude for giving him food, he starts working, bringing in a ton of customers, including a famous complainer who demands food and service be given in a short amount of time. Despite his high standards, Nasunosuke defeats him by delivering extremely high quality customer service thanks to his aubergine eyes, which are like the Sharingan of customer service, and they were given to him by Omotenasu, the goddess of hospitality. Soon, they begin attracting the attention of Blame, an evil organization of professional complainers who destroy restaurants with bad Yelp reviews, and were hired by the Heaven and Eye organization, who wish to run every shop out of the district in order to turn it into a shopping mall. I don't know why anybody would want to turn anything into a shopping mall in 2024. It seems like shopping malls are even more dead than shopping districts, but I don't know, maybe it's different in Japan.
I can only imagine so. At the very least, they want everything to be under their landlordship. They want to be able to own all of the land and businesses.
I suppose the first person they meet is a woman named My Blanket. who complains about the temperature it is in the store and is an old flame of Nasunosuke's. After servicing the hell out of her, she falls back in love with him and decides to help the ramen shop. But just then, the rest of Flame shows up to intimidate them before riding out of the whole manga on their bicycles. Like, they never show up again.
They fucking disappear. They do not matter.
I mean it. They ride out of the manga.
They say, "We'll be back, this ain't over," and they're gone, for good.
They're gone, they were wrong, it was over, and they were not back. Scoping out the district, they discover a punk bagel shop run by a guy named Bagel, who serves bagels with chocolate nails in them. He literally goes up and he's like, "Ah, you want my bagel full of nails?
Y'all want some of my bagel full of nails and some poison coffee?"
And then Nasunosuke's like, "Haha, now I am on the receiving end of customer service, so I will be the ultimate customer." I believe that he bows in the golden ratio.
His bow, anytime he does it, they highlight the golden ratio behind him.
It's amazing. And so he eats it and he's like, "Huh, the nails are made out of chocolate. And you say poison coffee, it's just regular coffee with an extra espresso shot." And Bagel is so happy about that that he just joins their team. Next, after Nasunosuke saves a woman who was brainwashed into overworking by Heaven and Eye, the group meets Tajima, a salesman at Heaven and Eye who tricks people into working for them by using big business words.
Just spouting them non-stop, talking about, you know, mergers, acquisitions, and
retirement plans, whatever, like
all that bullshit.
Ugh, yeah. Nasunosuke defeats him by forcing him to take a break.
It was fantastic. He just knocks him out.
It's really good. Popcorn Dylan.
Tajma then invites Nasunosuke to the mandatory tournament arc. The King of Service! If he wins, then Heaven and I will pay for Ajimaru's renovation and continued upkeep. But if he loses, then they will continue their harassment until they're driven out of business.
I like that because it's just kind of like, well, what do you do if we lose? And he's like, we're just going to keep going and we will eventually destroy you.
We're
going
to win eventually. You can't keep this up forever. This is your out.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, cool. Rock and a hard place. Naturally, Nasunosuke accepts. And in the tournament arc, they meet Losin, a legendary convenience store clerk. Yoneki, a muscle-bound flight attendant and Instagram e-girl, also known as Sean's Dami Mommy.
Hey!
And Sojima, a security guy, as well as Professor Pomeranian, a teacher who wears a Pomeranian mask to hide his identity.
Yes.
Yago, a genius doctor, and QQ, a literal serial killer who believes that killing people is the ultimate service.
An actual serial killer.
They introduce QQ as saying they have 300 years of mandatory service to make up for murder.
Yes, and there's one more person.
Oh, yes. Forget about this guy. He matters. His name is dumb as shit. His name is Korn. He is Nasunosuke's former coworker and rival who works at a host club. During the matches, the service workers reveal that they can use service energy to create Jujutsu Kaisen-style domain expansion.
It's literally domain expansion.
It is. Every time it's brought up, like, I think they even call it that at one point in the translation.
I think they literally call it, like, field expansion.
Yes, they call it field expansion. It's, come on, y'all.
They're not even hiding it. I mean, I think it was literally, like, a spoof at that point.
We're in a tournament arc. We may as well bring in some other shonen battle elements.
Yeah, it's a tournament arc for customer service. What do you want?
After several rounds, the finals consist of Nasunosuke, Korn, QQ, and Sojima. Korn and Sojima are knocked out, while Nasunosuke uses his aubergine eyes to determine that QQ used to be an incredible service worker just named Q. But after being hit in the head while overworking themselves, they were given a super service serum, which is really hard to say with a lisp, by the way.
Oh, God.
Also known as the SSS by Kanemizu, the president of Heaven and I. Which drove him to insanity and murder.
Did it drive him to murder?
Yes, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that!
Nasunosuke summons Amaterasu to reignite his love of service and turn QQ back to normal. Just then, Kanemizu makes Tajima grow into a giant fucking kaiju just by injecting him with a bunch of service serum. He grows so large he breaks out of the stadium, causing all of the service workers to join forces and fight him. The end result causes Tajima and Kanemizu to fly halfway across the world and land in Egypt, I guess.
They land in Egypt, right?
I guess, but they're dead, right? They died.
I mean, look, if Team Rocket can survive.
I guess if Team Rocket can survive.
I guess they can survive, you know?
And then we have our classic failed manga, time skip to 3 years later.
Yep.
Q works for Ajimaru since he technically didn't kill anyone, even though he fucking killed a lot of people.
He absolutely killed people! He absolutely killed people! It's bullshit!
He had a massive ball and chain that he was bashing people over the head with. These people were fucking dead.
One guy started moving and he's like, oh, I guess I didn't kill that guy yet. And that is a direct implication that he killed the other people, right? Like, you don't say
yes,
that.
Oh, yeah. He's stating other people died.
Yes.
Mai has married Bagel despite just being way head over the heels, still in love with Nasunosuke. Even states at one point, you can't always get the one you love. Bagel's like, the fuck you say?
You can't always marry the person you love. Yeah, they have a kid.
They have a kid with a tiny little bit of hair.
Look, I'm just saying, that little hairstyle kind of looks like Nasunosuke's Bagel.
Yeah.
Hey, Bagel, I don't know, you might not be the father.
But they did have Bagel's mohawk flattened down, so it kind of looked similar, maybe, in what they're going for. I doubt it, though. I think that's Nasunosuke's kid.
It's either Nasunosuke's kid, or she's just like, I'm just gonna style him like Nasunosuke, which is creepy.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Kind of weird.
Yoneki, the buff stewardess, and Korn are apparently together, kind of doing their own thing, yet Korn still is hitting on Renge. It's pretty seedy.
Like, I don't know, I thought it was a little nicer than that, but I definitely see where you're coming from. It is kind of like, hey, you're old enough to come to my bar,
yeah.
Come to my host club, but it's...
Yeah, I guess it depends on the type of host club that it is.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has his own host club now, which is pretty sick.
Pretty sick. Good for him.
And Nasunosuke has just wandered the earth to become the service warrior, as they hint at in the final splash page, where it shows him delivering a giant squid to a whale.
Yes.
Was the service warrior, like, the coming soon service warrior, was that a joke, or do you think they were being serious?
I feel like the author was kind of joking, kind of not.
He's like, I'm leaving myself open to this, you know, but in case it hasn't run its course, here's an out.
We'll get into it, but I feel like the author, it would be understandable if the author felt like he left a lot on the table here, so to speak. So I would understand if he feels like he would want to continue this, but I also think he doesn't feel like he's going to be given that chance.
Yeah, I actually checked out his Twitter. He's been doing is pimping out the published volumes, saying, hey, if you want to buy it or get some merch, it's over here.
I mean, hey, it is his most recent work, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into the characters. You know, there are a couple characters in this.
Kinda, sorta, not really, kinda, but yeah.
Yeah, sort of. There's a few. First things first, let's talk about Nasunosuke. He is a super waiter, absolutely like a play on the wandering samurai trope, I feel.
Oh yeah, that's definitely how they introduce him.
Yeah, and he has the aubergine eyes, which are just straight up the Sharingan.
He's got his aubergine eyes. They increase his customer service skills by 15%. And apparently he has a medallion that they use as a battery.
Oh, God, I don't remember that part.
It was during the final bit. He was wearing the necklace after he gets fucking crushed. And QQ just says, all right, I'm going to give you my energy so that you'll be able to summon the goddess.
Yeah, he's got like an eggplant medallion that's like, you got 0% energy. Oh, you got 10% energy. You know, like that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it charges as he delivers excellent customer service. And then when it's fully charged, it's kind of like a limit break.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things I really like about Nasunosuke is on his off days, he just shuts down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're a customer service worker and you work even like a double, the next day you're gone. So imagine being that level of on top of things.
I related to that super hard.
Yeah, they show him during his off time, just during one issue, and he just shuts down for a bit, and then is interrupted. It's like, shit, gets himself all prettied up, looking like an eggplant, because that's his style.
He is completely comatose, just like on the ground, drooling.
Face down, ass up. That's the way he likes to recharge.
Totally relate to that. That was me after my most recent job.
Where you just kind of collapse it as the second you get anywhere. You fall down wherever is not even slightly comfortable. You're out. Yep.
Yeah, I was, ugh. But yeah, he has decided to travel the world to become a better service worker. And he truly loves working service.
Yeah.
He loves servicing people. He just services everybody.
Yeah, the reason he actually left is because he wasn't able to properly service Blanket. And then he was like, all right, I gotta do better now. So yeah. He left to wander the globe and improve his service skills when really all Blanket needed was a hug.
That kind of is all Blanket needed. Maybe a blanket.
Yeah, just give someone a hug. Give someone a hug today. Warm them up.
Yeah.
That way they'll stop complaining about being cold.
But yeah, the first time we meet him, he is feeding a bear. He is giving a bear fish.
And also knocking it out at the same time.
Yes.
I don't know if he was feeding it or if he was just beating the shit out of it.
There's a couple times where his servicing is very hard to distinguish from just violence.
He's normally not typically very violent, but sometimes he does beat the shit out of someone just to provide excellent customer service, like knocking them out. But hey, maybe they need a nap.
One of his moves is he suddenly pulls out a back massager on somebody, and they're just like, oh my god, thank you so much.
During the kaiju fight between, not the kaiju fight with Tajima, but the kaiju fight that was more specifically between when QQ had turned into the embodiment of death, and Nasunosuke summoned Omotenasu, I believe? Omotenasu?
I looked it up. I think Omotenashi is like a Japanese term that roughly translates into hospitality.
Ah, that makes sense. So he summons basically the avatar of Omotenasu and forges, using energy, a giant back massager just to end the fight a little earlier. There's a couple times where he summons or just pulls out random back massagers. And yet, they're not the kind one would expect. They're not like the nice ones that wrap around and vibrate and pulse. They're just a little ball and stick.
This is old school shit.
Yeah.
This is pre-electricity shit.
Next up, we have Renge, daughter of Ajimaru's owner, and is basically the audience surrogate who just makes shock faces going, oh my god, ah! And stating generic, I can't believe that happened the entire time. She has no agency as a character.
Not really, no. She doesn't really do much. She is notably gaslit in the last few chapters.
Yes.
Basically what happens is there's a point where I really actually thought this was really funny. Soejima falls and is impaled on a spike.
You see the spike come through his guts.
It looks like he is dead. People are like, oh my god, he died. Like, it is brutal. And then he just shows up.
It's like, nah, I'm good. I'm fine. I was wearing this little girdle to help my back.
And that protected me.
And it protected me. She's like, no, I saw you get impaled. I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't get impaled. What are you talking about? And I think other people are like, Renge, what are you talking about? He didn't get impaled.
Yeah, Renge, just drop it, man.
Which I thought was really funny.
That definitely felt like harping on your typical, no, he was totally fine the entire time, and the audience is saying, motherfucker's dead, come on.
Yeah, I think that was either a retcon. I mean, that was a retcon, definitely. Yeah. But it was the author kind of being like, don't worry about it.
Lampshading it, kinda.
Forget about it, actually. Forget about it. It didn't happen. Shush.
Forget about it. We can't have QQ actually kill anyone despite the fact that, you know.
That's 100% why he did it. Yes, I forgot. That's 100% why he did it.
And then aside from that, Renge kind of has the hots for Nasunosuke. She asks him out on a date at one point, and then that's it.
It's kind of hard to tell, like, because she asked him if he wanted to go to the bagel shop, which could be a date. Could not be.
She
it's
seemed
like,
really excited when he said yes. The way she was excited and then tried to play it cool.
Yeah.
I think she was down for it.
I can see that, definitely. Although I feel like, unfortunately for her, Nasunosuke only has eyes for service.
And maybe corn.
Maybe corn. At one point, perhaps blanket, but I don't think so, blanket. I'm sorry. I'm not really.
Nah, I think customer service and corn. And with corn, it's kind of like that rival to lover dynamic.
Yeah, it definitely feels more that corn is into him than he is into corn.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, let's get into corn. '90s kids will get that joke. So Korn's Nasunosuke's rival. He works at a host club, and he's essentially Nasunosuke's Vegeta.
Yeah, he's the slightly edgy, grumpy guy. Still, you know, has a heart of gold, but...
Kind of tsundere, you know?
Oh, very tsundere, yeah. The entire reason he became so good at customer service was because he wanted to, you know, pass up Nasunosuke, because I can't have him get in the way. Otherwise he'd think, I don't know, I'm subservient to him or something.
Yeah. What's great about this style of manga, and you run into this in, like, Food Wars, too. It's like when characters defeat somebody, even if they're, like, quote-unquote evil, it's like, it's not actually evil. I mean, except for QQ, that's a different thing.
That is a different thing.
Like, there's at one point you see Korn, like, standing next to, a passed out guy, and you're like, oh my god, he just beat the shit out of that guy. But the guy wakes up and he's like, oh my god, thank you so much, I needed that 20 minutes of sleep. And then Korn's like, you think that 20 minutes of sleep, huh? I think you could use another few hours. And then just, he does Fist of the North Star, but instead of his head exploding, he just goes to sleep.
Yeah, doesn't he do that to his inner thighs? He just, like, goes between his leg and starts just, like, jabbing him a million times?
I think so. Yeah, he does, like, acupuncture techniques.
That's what he spent his time learning.
Yes, and to be clear, this is a good thing for that guy. He's like, ah, I feel so rested. Oh, my God.
I totally needed to be assaulted into sleeping.
I needed that, yes. What more do you say about Korn?
I don't know. The audience during the tournament arc definitely describes him as being hot. I have no idea what's up with his face paint. Is it supposed to be like corn kernels that are removed from his face?
I don't know. I think I know what you're talking about, and I had no clue what was going on up there.
Yeah, and then really, aside from Korn, there's only one other notable, like, character who has anything that really we haven't said, and that's QQ, who...
QQ!
Is described specifically as androgynous. They don't know what sex QQ is.
They say gender unknown.
However, they drop that after a page. After that one page.
They use he, him pronouns for QQ.
For the first page, they did use them and they.
Okay, yeah.
which I thought was actually really cool. It's like, oh, cool. Are we going to have like a non-binary character? That's a fascinating way to approach it.
On one hand, I thought it was cool. On the other hand, it's like, you make the androgynous guy a horrible murderer. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, that is a trope.
It is unfortunately a trope, the evil androgynous one. Disappointing that it fell into the trope, but yeah. Hey, QQ wasn't really evil, despite the fact that—
That was so stupid!
QQ fucking murdered a bunch of people.
I'm sorry. QQ murdered people. He was going to murder an entire crowd. At the very least, he should be in jail for so many counts of attempted murder. I'm sorry. Is attempted murder not a crime in Japan? What the fuck?
They'll wipe it away by the people getting up and then saying, oh man, my bones feel like they were put back into place. I'm feeling great.
Yeah, except they didn't do that.
No, they did. They did not even touch
that. Like, for other characters, they do violence, and then the guy gets up, and he's like, oh, thank you. You, like, really put my back into place, or something.
For the magical doctor, that was the thing, where he would throw, like, compresses on them, and they would then magically get better. They don't touch on that at all with QQ. QQ is just murdering people with a ball and chain, or strangling them, or crushing them in a stadium, or throwing them off a pit into spikes.
QQ's whole thing is that because life is pain, killing people is actually the best service you can do to release them from that.
Which, if they had stuck more to their guns with that, I think could be really interesting. If they didn't go the route of, oh no, this person was actually just made evil by some goo.
Yeah, he got the super service serum. Anyway, let's get into why it failed so I can just talk about QQ a little bit more. So, to make QQ work, he belongs in a different manga.
Yeah, QQ does not fit the vibe of this gag manga.
QQ does not fit in Service Wars. I'm sorry.
I don't even think the cop does.
You mean Soejima, the security guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least Soejima is, like, technically serves people, sort of. But it's also, I feel like, I mean, here's the thing, man. This manga should not have had the tournament arc. The tournament arc killed it.
Yeah.
Having service workers fight against each other, it ended up not making a lot of sense because by definition, you kind of need a customer.
Exactly. If they were going to do that, it would probably be more along the lines of them competing to serve a group the best and then getting scored at the end if you're going to do a tournament arc. And that's a big if.
Like Food Wars.
Yeah, there you go. With Food Wars, where they're actually being judged on the quality of what they make at the end, not fighting each other physically.
The problem with the tournament arc is that for its style, it went with like Dragon Ball Z or Hunter x Hunter or even Yu Yu Hakusho for its archetyping when it should have gone with Food Wars.
Yeah, it should not have been your standard shonen battle. It should have been more of a competition, more of like a sports manga even.
And they try and justify it with, like, service energy. Okay, that's kind of funny. But then at the end, they're like, the more service energy you put in, these chairs' bombs explode, which got really confusing, and they didn't really do much with, actually. And it felt like it disappeared shortly.
It was used for maybe 5 panels, and then the idea was dropped.
This feels like we've talked about how it seems like the editor often comes up to people and is like, hey, your manga's failing, put in a tournament arc.
That's kind of what they mentioned when they swapped to the tournament arc, when they jumped from it kind of being this more customer service, not competition, but the world's expanding around them while they were
Monster
building.
Monster of the Week.
Yeah, they were doing Monster of the Week. And then I think they actually specifically mentioned in the translation the mandatory tournament arc.
Oh, God.
Which I think the manga was a little bit like, fine, fuck it, whatever, you're killing me here.
I feel like the mangaka had to know that this was a problem. I mean, for instance, like, Claim, which is what they were building up to, disappeared.
Yeah.
Completely disappeared.
Which was such a shame, because for the first couple chapters where they had one or two guys coming in who were proving to be, like, an actual hassle, a problem for Nasunosuke to solve, and then they threw all of them in at once. That was disappointing.
Listener, you may have noticed that the vast majority of our criticisms are about when the tournament arc starts. We've barely had any criticism about the beginning of the series.
When it takes place in the restaurant, I love that part of it. If it would have stayed there for longer, I would have been so happy.
It is such a shame. But I also, here's the thing, there's two thoughts in my head here. First of all, I think that part of the reason we liked that part so much is because we have experience in customer service, both of us. We were able to relate so hard. You listen to Chibi to hear it. We related so hard to that first chapter because we've had shitty customers, and it was really cathartic to see Nasunosuke show that motherfucker up. But problem is, most of the people reading this kind of manga, probably kids who haven't had jobs like this, and so I can see them not relating to this premise.
Which, I think if this had been maybe made for a slightly more mature audience and put in what is the more adult version of Shonen Jump?
Jump Squared?
I think so. If it had been in something like that, if it had been, say, more, yeah, if it had been more adult-focused, if it had been in a more adult-focused platform, or at least, you know, older teenager, so the kids who are working their first jobs, if it had been focused more towards that group,
yeah.
I think it would have found its audience and wouldn't have had to do the standard shonen tournament arc.
It just kind of feels like it's in an odd situation with that, where it's not really mature enough, I feel. It's very much an all-ages manga.
Yeah.
But it's about something that only older people who have worked jobs can relate to.
Yeah, it definitely is kind of an audience issue mixed with, I'm sure, editorial meddling.
It's a similar issue that Mashal had to deal with, where those first few chapters, it's kind of like, well, where do you go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it going to keep being the same thing, the same Monster of the Week thing? I think that it could have gotten some kind of plot going. I feel like it was heading somewhere, like, until Tajima showed up to invite them, which, in retrospect, kind of feels sudden and out of place when Tajima, like, they just defeated him, and then he just shows up at their door, like, the next chapter, and he's like, oh, I'm better now, thank you, here you go.
I'm feeling so much better. You actually allowed me to get some rest. Now I'm going to invite you to the King of Games tournament.
There was no foreshadowing to that. It kind of just happened.
No build up. Like, if maybe they dropped a couple lines beforehand that Nasunosuke wanted to win that tournament or something along those lines, and the build up was slower. We'll get into that, into where it could have gone, but
like, you know that a series has an issue when you can pinpoint the exact moment when the editorial mandate took effect.
Yeah, and you can tell that he knew at least a couple issues ahead of time that it was coming, which is why he dumped the entirety of all of these evil complainers, show up, wreck shit, and then turn their tails and run.
But I feel like that's almost a sign that he didn't know, because they showed up and they were like, we'll be back.
Yeah, they did say they'd be back. Maybe he thought he'd have more time to work on it after the tournament arc.
Yeah, maybe it was like, all right, after the tournament arc, we're gonna bring these people back. But it's hard to say.
Yeah, because I can see a lot of manga doing that, where after a tournament arc where they use that to be their big draw, show off the power scaling of the universe, and then they settle back into the normal pattern of something. I can see that being a bit more common, but did not happen here.
No, but, you know, we talked a lot about, like, its issues with here. Let's get into what it did well.
Honestly, during the initial run-up, while Claim was still a factor, the complaining customers were spot on with people that I've encountered in the service industry.
Yes.
They were, like, sure, they were a bit Flanderized, but you kind of have to do that in a gag manga. These are still types of people that you encounter on a day-to-day basis working any variety of service job.
Yeah.
You've got the people who are always complaining about the atmosphere, about being too cold, about the temperature. You've got the people who want to make sure everything is done as fast as possible, and they will throw a fit if, you know, everything's even slightly late or not exactly to their liking. You've got the people that will sabotage things just to complain even further. You've got the assholes that will say, oh, I want this and this and this and this and this, that isn't related at all to what you're actually supposed to be providing for them. You see that all the time.
Yes, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of this series is the author venting about just shitty people and shitty bosses that he's dealt with. Because Tajima, the author definitely worked for a boss like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there's even a moment where he's just like, look at that punchable face.
Look at that punchable face, and his bow is all posture, no humility.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's when this manga is at its best. I want to say for, like, the first 11 chapters, this manga's kind of gold.
Yeah.
The problem is that after that, he has to start figuring out a way to, like, build up these other service workers, and the manga stops becoming venting about customers and starts being about how cool it is to work at, like, a convenience store and stuff, which there were moments where I think it still worked. There were moments where I think it was still really funny. Like, I liked some of these characters.
It's when the tournament arc characters were going into their actual stories.
Yes.
Approaching customer service from the eyes of a different industry.
Yeah.
That was definitely one of the better things it did. Once it hit that tournament arc, that was one of its saving graces.
Yeah, but like at the same time, it's like those moments just became fewer and far between. Whereas in the first 10 chapters or so, it was so much fun. Like they had, like the customers were like so much more clever to me.
Oh, so much more so than just the villains.
Well, in the sense that like they had the guy who was really hairy and would drop hair in his own food and then just be like, look at this hair that's in the food. What the hell? This place has hair all over its food.
I wish they would have gotten around to solving him as a customer. I imagine it would have been something along the lines of waxing him, which would have been hilarious.
Oh, God. Waxing him or, like, shampooing him or something.
Oh, your hair follicles are inflamed. That's why you're shedding hair. Here, let's give you a full spa day.
It was often, like, legitimately funny how they'd fight and, like, improve each other in that way. Like, when, one of the early things is you see Korn, like, punch Nasunosuke in the face, and they're like, whoa, did he break your glasses? And actually what he did was polish his glasses. So Nasunosuke strikes back by grooming his eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of fun when they were doing that, the improving each other to provide better service and escalating it slowly. That was definitely one of the more fun aspects of it. Another thing I really enjoyed. So I ended up reading some of Mitama Security after we finished this.
Yeah.
The art, though, now is a huge step up. It is cleaner. The faces are better.
Yes.
The details are, like, when they're added, are actually more helpful. They're less muddy. Overall, huge improvement in art. I enjoyed the art in this one.
Yeah, no, the art in Mitama Security was definitely rough.
Yeah.
You could absolutely tell. And the art here, while not like amazing.
No, it wasn't perfect, but
was like a lot cleaner. No. I went from Don to Don to reading this, and it was like, this manga looks bad when you go from Don to Don to Service Wars. It's not fair.
Don to Don, is that the lizard head thing?
That's Dorohedoro. Don to Don's like a whole separate thing, but Dorohedoro's art is also fantastic.
I've only seen a few panels of that, and it is wonderful.
Dorohedoro's great. High recommend. But I just can't stop thinking about when Nasunosuke bowed in the golden ratio. That might be like my favorite moment in the manga.
There's no need for that as a gag. It doesn't really add anything, but it's just so good.
I also appreciate how this manga, like, there's this really intense work culture in Japan. I know that. There's an intense work culture in America, too, but Japan is famous for it, where it's just, like, constantly work hard, and that's the only way to succeed. Very little sleep. Keep going. But this guy's kind of like, no, just don't destroy yourself. Like, he has a character who's been essentially zombified by Heaven and I to work constantly. I really like Renge's description where she's talking about her and she works at a bagel shop and she's like, she had fair skin that was like bagels.
Which is a way to describe someone, that's for sure.
Horrifying.
I fucking adored the translation.
Translation was really good.
Especially some of the puns. Apparently, so there's, my favorite one is Grizzly Bear, where they give a grizzly bear a makeover and it's just gorgeous.
Oh, that was so good.
Apparently, it's better than the Japanese pun, which was, it was a portmanteau of the term used for a hot guy and bear. So it was just, it's a hot guy bear. But nice. Grizzly Bear is something else.
Grizzly Bear is fantastic.
Overall, translation was great. A lot of the puns worked really well in the translation. And though some things I think could have definitely been translated better, like claim, they don't actually state what it's an abbreviation for, I don't think.
I think they do, but it's just confusing, kind of.
Yeah, like they did kind of the French thing where Doctors Without Borders is MSF. They kind of approached it from that angle.
Well, it's Militaire Sans Frontiers. Wait, no, that's the Metal Gear Solid thing, because it's Military Sans Frontiers. Whatever.
Ah, where's Maddie when you need her?
Ugh.
Anyway, yeah, no, from a translation, it was really fun, but yeah, let's go on to where it could have gone.
So we kind of talked about it a little bit. About like what it was setting up. I feel like where the author was headed here was, first of all, Q was not going to just suddenly snap into being like a good guy member of the crew. That is, no, I feel like...
If you're going to have a character like that, they're going to be a recurring villain that slowly improves and becomes less violent over time.
Yes, I feel like that's where he was headed. It would have been a lot slower. I think Soejima would have died when he got impaled by that
absolutely.
Fucking spike that 100% felt like a retcon. Oh my god.
Yeah, if it actually had him kill someone and then face actual consequences as a result, it would have been nice. It would have been a little nice to say that, okay, maybe he was killing people. He was, you know, working his way back, though, from being a killer. But then one thing happened and it was maybe someone else will take the fall for him or something. But in the end, QQ will still blame themselves. Maybe he'll do it. Maybe he'll jump off himself and say, well, fuck you. And then fall back onto the spikes.
Yeah.
And QQ will blame himself. Something like that.
This mangaka's art was not strong enough to have a dramatic shift.
Yeah, the shift in tone.
The tone shift, yeah. Like, Mashal was able to pull it off, where Mashal was able to turn into, like, an action manga with some seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
This mangaka couldn't do it. I really don't think he would be able to do that, which, again, is a problem when you have QQ, because QQ feels like he belongs in a completely different manga.
Because all these characters have soft, kind of round, very easily characterized faces. Even just from an art standpoint, QQ stands out because QQ has a sharp, angular face, empty, dead eyes.
Yeah.
It just does not fit with the world.
It does not fit with the world. The author cannot pull off super, like, hardcore dramatic shots.
Especially with the faces, since they're always using the shock faces in the corner of every panel, if you have a moment where people are actually supposed to be shocked, don't fucking do it. Don't do that.
No. Because QQ's backstory is so ridiculous. It, like, it's, again, for a gag manga, it works, but it's like, you can't then have him be a serial killer.
No,
or...
you
QQ should have been a one-off joke.
There you go.
If he was defeated in that initial arc leading up to the tournament, like if he was kind of someone they had to get by there, I think that that would have worked. But to have him be like a main recurring character, it kind of became a problem because, again, he's killing people. I'm sorry, he's not, but you know, but he is.
You can't have someone just blatantly murdering people by bludgeoning them in a gag manga where people summon out of the ether a convenience store and gummies.
Oh my god, it just doesn't fit. As for Claim, I really think either the author was planning to do that until he was stopped by the editor. I think that that's actually what was going to happen, because they were talking about, let's revitalize this whole district, and that's what the plot was going to be, because they brought up the bagel store, and then Nasunosuke helped the bagel store. I think what they were going to try and do was they would have another shop show up, and then maybe one of the Claim guys would go into that shop and try to shut them down, and Nasunosuke would show up, and they'd work together and it would be like this whole thing. I am almost certain that that's what was going to happen.
That's definitely what it feels like when they introduced the metal bagel shop initially.
I
wish they would have continued that trend of being monster of the week, expand the shopping center, help the shopping center get back up on its feet, and then introduce maybe Heaven and Eyes evil plot kind of in the background or more subtly, instead of just out of nowhere having one of the big bads show up and say, hey, I'm one of the evil guys here. You're going to fight in a tournament arc.
It just seems so clear that the tournament arc was a product of editorial meddling. It just doesn't fit.
I do want to see what'll happen if this mangaka doesn't have an editor. I'm sure it'll be nuts. It'll be humorous.
Yeah.
Or at least with less editorial meddling. Something along those lines.
I mean, here's the thing. I think editors are more important than we realize.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is like, Shonen Jump has to get the fuck off this tournament arc thing. They have to chill the fuck out.
How many flops have had a tournament arc? Do you know off the top of your head how many recently?
Recently, I don't know, but I know it happens all the fucking time.
The shonen-focused manga have some tournament arc in it, and it kills it.
It's either tournament or exam arc. The most famous one to me is still Hunter's Guild Red Hood, where the author just got so fucking mad about it that the rest of the series is like borderline fourth wall break meta story about how the editor can ruin a series.
Did there end up being a tournament arc in the series that the manga did prior to this?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that there's a tournament arc in Mitama Security. There's a great training arc where I think I mentioned it before. It's like, he's training to be a better, like, spirit detective, essentially. And then it turns out he was just training to be a good basketball player.
They definitely touched on the basketball in the first bit of it. That makes sense.
Basketball is a huge part of Mitama Security.
Since we're going a bit on the basketball side of things, how about we move on over to miscellaneous thoughts?
Yes, that's a good idea.
He fucking loves basketball, though. There was a lot less basketball in this than I was expecting, especially compared to the other series.
I mean it, like a third of Mitama Security is basketball.
Yeah, his spirit ball is a basketball. There was the basketball ghost in like the third issue or in the third chapter.
Yeah.
I just think he couldn't find a way to put basketball into this. I think that was, maybe he could have added a ring boy.
If this series kept going, there 100% would have been a basketball player, or there 100% would have been something relating to basketball. I feel like maybe it would have been like the world's best water boy.
Yep.
Or something
along those lines, where it's providing service for the players. Yeah. Some variety of ringside attendant, but also can do everything involved in the sport too. For if the player gets tired, good service will be taking over in their place. And that would be a very, an arcade or gym opens up at the shopping center.
Yeah.
That feels like a good place that they would have introduced that. But there was only a handful of references to basketball in this one that I could remember.
I only caught the time that they said slam dunk.
I think there were a couple, at least generic sports references with the term goal being used. But yeah, it was less so. I think editorial kind of forced him to rein that in. Or maybe he just decided not. Maybe he just didn't want to. I don't know.
I like the implication that if this guy was like untethered, he would just make everything basketball.
A basketball gag manga could be pretty fun.
There's a part of him that just wants to make a basketball manga, but he doesn't feel like he's got it in him.
I would love to see him, just even a one-shot. Just a single chapter of a basketball, kind of like David's manga.
Yeah, basketball grandma, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting how this guy, he has flops, but they're longer flops.
Yeah, and I kind of want to read the Swan one to see how that compares, if that's a gag or not. Because from what I can tell, the Exhibitionist thing, probably a gag manga, but also could be a thriller.
But I also kind of feel like that makes sense for this guy because he's not bad. He is a talented mangaka. It's just like,
if he had someone working with him, maybe then.
It just hasn't worked for him. But it's also like people recognize that he's not terrible. He's not U19. This is one of the longer series that we've covered. Mitama Security, I think, was over 40 chapters. So this is not manga that got thrown in the trash.
And it's clear that he's not running out of steam. It's that something is causing him to have to end things a little early.
Yeah, I do feel like Mitama Security starts to drag at certain points. So maybe that is kind of it. Like, I feel like this guy picks ideas that kind of don't go for 100 chapters.
There is a limited scope. I can see Mitama Security having a much broader scope than Service Wars, but yeah. Service Wars, I could definitely see still being a limited series with a finite ending, a final ending in place planned before even starting.
There is such a difference between writing a shorter series with a definitive ending and writing a series that is meant to go on forever, essentially. And Shonen Jump demands that you write series that go on forever, unless you're Akira Toriyama. RIP, by the way. This is the first episode we've done since Akira Toriyama died. Rest in peace. Absolute king. I was devastated. Me and my girlfriend were crying. Oh my god.
I'm bullying the rest of Animated Context to doing an original Dragon Ball episode as soon as possible because we needed to do that, man.
I do want to get into Maxi B's thoughts here. They said that this is Hatamune's first series without editor Junichi Tamada, who'd been working alongside him since his first submission to the Akatsuka Awards in 2011, but had to move on after being transferred to Shueisha's Dash Books division. That might explain a lot, because this means that he was working with a different editor this time.
Which, this definitely would have been probably one of Jump's in-house guys, end.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense why this felt a lot more like your standard shonen affair after a certain point, which is unfortunate.
It's a shame. Yeah, it sounds like the other editor probably got him more, which is why they seem to have had, just based on that sentence, like a working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a damn shame. One of Maxibi's other notes is that Hatamune is often mistaken for a woman because of his art style, as a major part of his study for A Naked Swan involved reading and learning from copies of Besetsu Margaret. I definitely know what that is. Thank you, Max. I absolutely know what that means. I'm definitely not Googling it right now.
One of Tucker's notes that I thought was kind of interesting, Heaven and Eye Holdings is actually a play on words.
Yeah.
Parody of Seven and Eye Holdings, which is the Japanese parent company that bought out 7-Eleven. Unlike in the United States, in Japan, the holding company's branding is everywhere, and they have a very particularly catchy jingle that's everywhere as well.
Seven and Eye Holdings.
Which is interesting. I wish that's kind of how it was in America, because then you would notice how few holding companies own a billion things.
Oh, what do you mean everything's owned by Rhett and Mitt Romney? What?
Wait, really?
Bain Capital, yeah.
Oh my god, I didn't realize he was Bain Capital. Anyway, enough about politics.
Yeah.
Let's get into final verdict and six-word summaries.
Starting off with six-word summaries from our community. These were submitted on our Discord. If you would like to submit one yourself for our upcoming episodes, check out the link in our description and go to the six-word summaries channel in our Discord. Starting with Tucker, serving continuous reader satisfaction and excellence.
I get it. I get it.
Maxi B, serviceable silly story, weird wacky wars. Spike, even revenge won't be served cold. Glornak, yeah. Iron Spawn, customer service is my personal hell. Yeah.
Mine to.
Captain Clueless, truly a dinner and a show. Real, what do your eggplant eyes see?
I like that.
Taking the bagels to Isengard. Aura Paladin, promising shopping district remains tragically underdeveloped.
Yeah.
La Mumu, server so great that it's hilarious. Sbubby, Hato Sensei, where can I tip you? Portal Man, they gave Gordon Ramsay a manga?
Oh man.
I think Gordon Ramsay was actually the gourmand in Mutama Security.
They do need to give Gordon Ramsay Food Wars. I'm waiting for that. I want him to see it.
Or have him just sit down and have some of the foods from Food Wars made for him. That would be interesting.
That'd be interesting, yeah. Like, he's a judge, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Quack. My eggplant eyes see wasted potential. Red Blade. By shonen battle to please people's problems. Mm. Dude Rocks the Earth Child Stand. Karen's destroyed by great customer service. The Wolf, the Wood, the Trafalgar. Better Food Wars, but less horny.
I don't know. I really like Food Wars a lot, actually.
Food Wars actually inspires me to cook. Meanwhile, this doesn't inspire me to do customer service.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not meant. Well, I don't know. I feel like maybe this, I don't know.
From David? Oh, hey, I can submit one.
Thank you, David.
Much appreciated contribution, buddy. Sandman DF, this is my six-word summary.
Thank you, Sandman DF.
Tied for David on that one. Grey Potter, King of Questions. Genius host attains true eggplant deification. Thor's, aka Daniel, Grizzly Bear. 10 out of 10.
Yep.
Yep.
Pretty great.
Carbon, strongest customer service employee of today.
Mm-hmm.
Watchtower, Y-Lad, which Yakuza Like a Dragon. Business Management Minigame, Manga Edition.
Hmm.
Spook, Sir Skellington. No summer this week. Am fasting. I think they meant summary, but it is six words, so I don't know what they were quite going for. From Andy Royd 17. Don't remember that part of 1984. That is, I believe, referencing Heaven and Eye's banner being everywhere during Chapter 9.
Oh, okay.
Jordan, what's your six-word summary?
Oh, I remember customers like this.
Far too many of them.
How about you, Dylan?
Here, it's service or be serviced.
We didn't even talk about the double entendre with that.
There were so many service double entendres. I was sending them to all of my friends as I was reading them.
Oh, side note, I really liked the guy who wanted to win the King of Service Award so he could satisfy a dream of swimming through a giant pool of curry.
That just sounds so messy. I was thinking about that. I was like, what kind of curry? Like a more liquidy, like Thai curry or Japanese curry, or like a thicker Indian curry?
I don't know. The dealer's choice, you know?
Scrooge McDuckett, just dive on in.
Hell yeah. Dylan, flop or not?
No, I don't think it was a flop. How about you, Jordan?
I think it was a flop, unfortunately.
Really?
I think that if it had stuck to the first 10 chapters, wouldn't have been. But I just think that the remaining chapters were just not very strong. I still like this series. I don't think it's terrible. But I just feel like that drop-off in quality just kind of really hurt it. It just started to drag. And It's a shame.
I do feel you there. I think I probably would have continued to read it, though, which is where I would... That's where I would have the line between flop or not. Flop is if...
That's fair.
I just feel I don't have the energy to continue. But this, if Service Warrior ever comes around, I'll give it a few chapters.
Oh, I will too. Again, I didn't dislike this series. I liked it. I just feel like don't think it had that staying power, that je ne sais quoi, that a lot of non-flops have.
I can definitely see that. So what would you recommend in place of this if someone wanted something that wasn't a flop?
The Bear is a great series about running a restaurant. It's stressful as hell, but it's just a fantastic show.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I do need to get around to watching that. It's on my list after X-Men 97.
I really want to watch X-Men 97. I haven't watched it yet. Oh my god, I was just watching the trailers and getting goosebumps from all the nostalgia. Holy shit.
They use the original theme in the trailer. I hope they use it in the show. The da-da-da-da-da-da-dum. That just, shivers.
No, I watched the intro from 97. Don't worry. Don't worry. They keep it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, The Bear and apparently X-Men 97.
Yeah, there we go. There you go. Well, Dylan, based on what you've heard from editing, do you think that this is the best or worst series we've talked about?
No, I don't. I think this falls in the positive end of mid in the grand scheme of things.
I agree. I easily do not think this is the worst. Far, far from the worst. It is closer to some of the best series that we've read, but that's mostly because we 90% of the time just read absolute trash. And this was, decent. But do you think this is better or worse than Chainsaw Man, since you said it wasn't a flop?
Nowhere near as good as Chainsaw Man.
Okay!
Nowhere near as good. Fuck out here with that.
Anyway, let's get into the wrap-up now. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dylan.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Jordan, for making the opening and end theme, being a fantastic host and helping with our editing throughout this.
Oh, thank you so much. Of course. And thank you so much, Dylan, for all the editing that you do.
Props to Merle Isle for the fantastic cover art for this one. I love the cover art so much.
So good. This is great.
You can find her online at Lyle_Mer, which is L-I-E-L _M-E-R, and Nigel for being our generous art benefactor. Thanks to Tucker and Maxie B for assistance with pronunciation, translation, and other miscellaneous research. You can find us on Twitter at ShonenFlopCast, Tumblr, Shonen-Flop, and our website, ShonenFlop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Join the Shonen Flop Discord. It's open to everyone, patron or not. Come hang out with us and talk about anime, games, or whatever else is on your mind. We also have a monthly movie night. You can find a link to our Discord in the show notes or on our site. And if you've been enjoying the podcast and want to help us keep going, consider subscribing to our Patreon. We would not be able to keep the show running without our patron support. You also get a ton of awesome perks, like exclusive content, including this month's patron bonus. And Jordan, what are the patrons getting this month?
Part 2 of Ichinose's Family Sins with Crimson Rogue. You know something? You know, the way that I remember the title of that series is that I have a pretty itchy nose right now.
And your family has a lot of sins.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
You could even be sitting in and listening to our recordings live or listen to our raw warm-up audio. Find us at patreon.com/shonenflop.
Yeah.
And Jordan, who are some of the fantastic patrons who have helped make this show possible?
Starting with our $25 Dolphin Dads, we got Glornak, and my brain is officially fried because ... breasts.
Ditto.
And Rachel, David's wonderful wife!
I hope she enjoyed her time in New Zealand.
I do as well, in Hobbit Town. Next, moving on to the $10 Ravioli tier, where you can get pictures of David's wonderful dog, Ravioli. We got Chris Xenophantos, Eva, Lady T, Matt T, and Trevor Schechter. Next, going to our $8 King of the Forest members, we got 090Z, Chad Mason, is Dylan secretly Blitz PhD on TikTok? Sean, check on it. Dylan, what do you think about that?
I've heard that patron name in the previous episode of Animated Context, and I looked them up. We look nothing alike, and we don't sound anything like one another. We are just white guys who wear glasses and have long, dark hair.
I like the idea that you would have to look him up to determine whether or not he was you.
I mean, sometimes, hey, I don't know what I get up to.
Jacob Andrew Galloway, Justin Hefner, Kirby Mondusculus, Marty, Max Baker, Riley 3.14, Sarah Hydra, The Wolf, The Wood, and the Trafalgar, and Tommy Boy. And I'd like to thank our Galactic Ball Federation officers, as well as our Beast Children. I love all of you so much.
And Jordan, is there anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
Check out Mission Ignition, my podcast where I cover fucking vampires.
Hell yeah.
You should watch Vampires, Dylan, just to see what we're talking about.
Do you know where
here.
It's available? I tried looking it up earlier and couldn't find anything.
YouTube!
It just YouTube. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's where we get it.
Fantastic.
VAN-PIRS, but the show is called Mission Ignition. You can find it wherever you look for podcasts, whatever. Dylan, anything you want to talk about?
Go and listen to Traumagician if you enjoy goth rock and some spooky metal. They are releasing a song every single month, and honestly, Undertow constantly stuck in my head. It's fantastic. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. This has been Dylan.
This has been Jordan.
And you've been listening to Shonen Flop.
Keep on flopping, flopper!
Yeah!
Yeah!